before the very youngest ones, those under school age, are going to leave us, we're going to just hand over to Nathan, who's going to give us a bit of introduction to what we're going to be thinking about today.
Fantastic. Hello, can you hear me?
Great.
Good. Now, if you are in mini junior church and you're feeling really brave, how about coming and having a seat down here? I encourage you to come do that. You can bring your mummies and daddies with you if they're feeling a bit nervous. And can I have my three volunteers, please? All right. Volunteers. Yep. Mark, can you stand there? Is that all right? And Joe, give me those, and Joanna those. Fantastic. Brilliant. Now, last week in our adult service, the grown-ups were learning that God's people behave like God in the way that we treat others. We show love to others without limit because that's how God has loved us. I've got three volunteers here, and I'd like to ask you a question. Who here is quite tall? Who's quite tall? Is there anyone else in the service who's quite tall? Oh, I see a tall person running in from the back. Theo, you're quite tall, aren't you? Hi, Theo. Yeah. Now, who do you think is in Theo's family? Is it Joanna? Is it Joe? Or is it Mark? Please, this one.
Great. Is it Joanna? Is it Joe? Or is it Mark? Who is it? It's Mark, isn't it? Yes. Theo, you're in tall Mark's family. Theo is tall because his family is tall. Right, here's another question. Who here likes having books read to them? Who likes having books read to them? Esther? Yeah. Esther, you like having books read to you. Now, whose family do you think Esther is in? Is it in Joanna? Is it Joe or is it Mark? Who is it? It's Joanna, isn't it? Esther, you like having books read to you because you are in Joanna's family. And I think Joanna probably loved having books read to her when she was little as well. Right, last one. Who here likes baking chocolate cake? Yes, you do, don't you, Jacob? Yes. Who do we think is in Jacob's family? Is it Joanna, Joe, or Mark? It's Joe. Yeah. Jacob, you like having chocolate cakes baked for you and baking them because Joe likes baking chocolate cakes. We're like those in our family, aren't we? We're like those in our family. And God calls us to be like him because we're in his family now. We're in God's family, and that is fantastic. And because we're in God's family, we need to behave like God. Isn't that brilliant? I'm going to pray really, really quickly. Should we pray? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we're in your family. Help us to behave like you've treated us. Amen.
So our Bible reading is on is Luke 6, verse 39, beginning at verse 39, on page 1034. Oh, sorry, you were going to say that. You were going to say all that. I've stolen your thunder. I'm sorry, Phoebe. So let's start at that point, okay, when everyone's ready.
Okay. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How do you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out the overflow in his heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into his practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it would not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete.
Phoebe, thank you so much. Shall we pray before we start? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can hear you speak to us this morning. Help us, Father, to listen, to hear, to understand, and then to go away and be changed by what you say. Amen. I'd like to tell you a story this morning. It's such a ridiculous story. I heard it a few years ago, but it's stuck in my head and I can still remember it. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the story, and hopefully it'll be so silly that you can remember it too. It's a story about a man who had a fruit tree in his garden. But his fruit tree wasn't a particularly good fruit tree. It grew fruit, but the fruit was small and had little black spots on it. And he tried tasting some of it once, and it was horrible. And each year, he'd go out into his garden, and he'd try and pick the fruit from his fruit tree. And he'd look at it, and it was just rubbish. And he thought, oh, maybe next year. And he'd try it again next year. But it was no good. This tree was just a bad tree. Until one year, he had an idea. And he thought, ha-ha! And he went down to his local greengrocer's, to Pawson's or wherever, and he bought a massive bucket full of beautiful, juicy apples. And then he went home, and he got a hammer and some nails, and he nailed the apples to his fruit tree. So that now, when he went outside to pick an apple from his fruit tree, he had a beautiful, lovely, juicy apple to eat. Isn't that ridiculous? I told you it was silly. It stuck in my head. Hopefully it sticks in your head. We'll see what that's about in a little bit. The bit of the Bible that we're looking at today carries on from what we were looking at as adults last week. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his followers, and a whole great crowd of people are listening. And Jesus, last week, we saw, told his followers, love others because that's how God has loved you. If you're in God's family, behave like you're in God's family. This week, Jesus carries on talking to his disciples. And he starts off by saying, don't be a hypocrite. Do what I say. That's the first thing we want to see from our passage this week. Don't be a hypocrite. Do what Jesus says. And Jesus knows it's hard to understand. So he tells his disciples a parable to help them understand. It's a parable which has got three little mini stories in it. And firstly, Jesus says, can a blind man lead a blind man? You have a look down. There it is. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Can he? Let's find out. I'd like a volunteer, please. Anyone feeling brave? Phil feeling brave. Yeah.
Benji. Oh, no, sorry, Phil. Thank you very much.
Great.
Right. Thank you, though.
Sorry, Phil.
Benji, can we put this on you? Is that all right? I'm going to put this one on you. Okay. All right, you take a step forward.
Brilliant. Well done.
And, Benji, just so you know, I'm also putting one on, okay? So you're not alone. Oh, okay. There we go.
Right. There. Great. Thanks, Benji.
Now, Benji, I've got a bit of a problem because I'm actually feeling really hungry this morning. And I left an apple at the back of church. Can you lead me, please, to my apple so that I'm not hungry anymore? Yeah? Can we go to the back of church? Let's go. Whoa! Whoa, hang on. Benji, I'm not sure this is... I'm really not sure this is a good idea. Let's stop. Okay, there we go. Oh, there we are. Brilliant. Benji, thank you very much. Go sit down. All right. There we are. Can a blind man lead a blind man?
No.
The problem was, Benji couldn't help me go and find my apple, because he couldn't see either. Jesus says, a blind man can't lead a blind man. They'll both just fall over. We nearly did. Secondly, Jesus says, a student isn't above his teacher. What does that mean? Gonna need another volunteer. Who's feeling brave? Phil, come on. And... I'm also going to need a teacher. Any teachers in the room? We've got some teachers. I'm seeing... Jay, you're a teacher. Come on, Jay. Thanks. Phil, you've been a student before, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, great. Jay, you're a teacher. Jay, would you teach chemistry, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Phil, I'd like you to teach Jay about chemistry, please.
Atoms.
Jay, you knew that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a periodic table.
You knew that as well, didn't you? Yeah. All right, no, you know what, guys? Okay. Don't worry. Thanks. Go sit down. A student can't teach a teacher. Phil knows lots of things, but he probably doesn't know very much about chemistry compared to Jay. Finally, Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, come here, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you fail to see the plank in your own eye? It's like me saying, come here, you've got an eyelash in your eye. Come, let me get it out for you. It's ridiculous. There's a plank in my eye. I'm not going to be able to get the eyelash out of your eye, am I? Remember what Jesus said to his disciples just before he said all this. He said, love others, because that's how God loved you. If Jesus' disciples, if we, as followers of Jesus, agree with what Jesus says, we say, yeah, that's brilliant, Jesus, love others, yes, but then don't do it, we're hypocrites. And that's the word that Jesus uses to describe the people in each of these three mini stories. The blind man leading the blind man. He's a hypocrite. He says, oh, I can lead you, but he's blind. If Jesus' disciples say they agree with what Jesus says, but don't do what Jesus says, they're hypocrites, like a blind man leading a blind man. The student trying to teach the teacher. He's a hypocrite. He thinks, I can teach, but he hasn't been taught himself. If Jesus' disciples say that they agree with what Jesus says but do not do what he says, they're hypocrites, like a student trying to teach a teacher. Plank in the eye guy, he's a hypocrite. He thinks he can take the speck of sawdust from his brother's eye, but he's got a plank in his own eye. If Jesus' disciples agree with what Jesus says but don't do it, they're hypocrites, just like plank in the eye guy. Jesus' big point is this: don't be a hypocrite.
do what Jesus says. Each week we hear what Jesus says in our sermon, in junior church, in mini junior church. But how often do we just leave it there? We agree with everything we've heard, but then we go back to school or to work, and it makes no difference to us at all. So just for a second, let me ask the adults in the room. If you were here last week, did you agree with what Jesus said about showing love, limitless love, to others, even to your enemies? How was your small group, if you're in a small group afterwards? Did you chat about that and agree about it? Did you encourage one another? Yes, we should be doing this. We should be showing love even when it's hard. Did you even pray for the others in your small group that they would do that? Here's a big question. How did you do this week at putting into practice what Jesus says about showing limitless love? Because that's how we've been loved. It's hard not to be a hypocrite, isn't it? If you're anything like me, we're so naturally hypocrites, so quick to agree with everything that we hear that Jesus says, but so slow to do anything about it. But also be encouraged. If you are part of a small group, and if you're working hard at talking to others, talking to your church family and friends, and putting into practice what Jesus says, praying for one another, asking one another those difficult questions, be really encouraged, because you are doing what Jesus says. By the way, if you're a regular here and you're not stuck into a small group, I just cannot commend highly enough small groups. They are the thing that more than anything helps me not to leave each week on a Sunday and forget everything I've heard. They're the thing that helps me most to put into practice what Jesus says. I can't encourage you enough. Get stuck in. Jesus isn't quite done with all his parables yet, though. He's still got more to say. Don't be a hypocrite. Do what Jesus says. Whether you do what Jesus says shows whether he is your Lord. This is the second thing that we want to see from the Bible today. Whether we do what Jesus says shows whether he is our Lord. Lord is a word that means ruler or king, the one who's in charge. It's the person who says, let's go this way, let's do that, let's live like this, and we say, yes, I'll follow. To help his disciples understand, Jesus has got another parable. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, Jesus says. So, here are two trees, tree A, tree B. How can you tell which tree is a good tree and which tree is a bad tree? How can you tell? Jesus says each tree is recognized by its own fruit. So, here's fruit from one of the trees. Would anybody like to try some fruit? Anybody? Yes, there we go. All right. Do you want to pull some fruit off? That's it. Grab a handful. Brilliant. Well done. Anybody else? That's probably enough for now. Don't want to spoil your lunch. Yes, Jude. Brilliant. Anybody else? Over here. Great. You know what? You can just pass it around. Now, anyone who's eaten some, tell me, what do you think? Good tree or bad tree? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Good tree? Good tree, yeah? The fruit from that tree is good. It tastes remarkably like grapes, which I'm surprised would grow on a tree like that. The good fruit shows that it's a good tree. Now, here's the fruit from the other tree. Would anybody like to try some of this? Okay. Anyone tried one? Ian? Thumbs down. Thumbs down? Yeah. That is bad fruit. Tastes a lot like an uncooked cranberry. That is bad fruit. It's bad fruit which shows that it's a bad tree. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. The good tree bears good fruit, and the bad tree bears bad fruit. In the same way, Jesus says, the good man brings up good out of the good stored in his heart, and the evil man brings up evil out of the evil stored in his heart. Like good fruit shows that a tree is good, and bad fruit shows a tree is bad. What a person does shows what a person is like. And look at what Jesus says next. Look down in your Bibles. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Jesus is making the point. Fruit shows what a tree is like. Whether we do what Jesus says shows whether he's our Lord, whether he's the one in charge. We can't say, Jesus is Lord, he's the one in charge, and then not do what he says, not put his words into practice. That would be like saying we're a good tree but producing bad fruit. Not doing what Jesus says shows he isn't our Lord. And the opposite is true. If we do what Jesus says, it shows that he is our Lord. Whether we do what Jesus says shows whether he's our Lord. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, oh no, I don't always do what Jesus says. So Jesus isn't my Lord. I must stop being a hypocrite and calling Jesus Lord and not doing what he says. I must do what Jesus says so that he is my Lord. Do you remember the story I told you right at the start? The story I said, I hope you remember it, about the bloke with the apples. Did the man make the tree a good tree by nailing good apples to it? No, he didn't. He didn't change the tree at all. After a couple of days, the apples would go moldy and fall off. And the tree wouldn't grow new apples. It's the same old tree. And to try and do enough of what Jesus says to make him your Lord, it's like nailing apples to a tree try and make it a good tree. The fruit shows what the tree is like. The fruit doesn't change what the tree is like. Trying to do what Jesus says doesn't make him your Lord. In the verse that Jim read at the start of the service, Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus isn't your Lord because you're good enough for him. You can't make him your Lord by doing what he says. Precisely the opposite is true. Jesus is your Lord if you recognize you're a sinner. Someone who can never be good enough for Jesus, who needs his forgiveness. But that isn't quite the end of the quote, is it? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Once we've seen we're sinners who can never be good enough and ask Jesus to forgive us, Jesus calls us to repent, which means to turn around, stop going our own way, to follow Jesus' way, to accept him as our Lord, the one in charge. If Jesus isn't your Lord, you can't make him your Lord by doing what he says. But Jesus is clear. If he is your Lord, then you will do what he says. Don't be a hypocrite. Do what Jesus says. Whether you do what Jesus says shows whether he's your Lord. Jesus got one last thing to explain to his disciples, and it's a hard thing to hear, but an important one. Only those who have Jesus as Lord will be safe when God judges. Jesus has got this last thing to explain and one last parable. Jesus says, let me show you what the one is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man who builds a house. He digs down deep. Let me move this. Thanks, Eric. He digs down deep. So let's dig down. There we are. And builds his house on a solid rock.
when the flood comes and strikes that house, the house stands because it's been well built. Jesus says, if you hear his words and put them into practice, if Jesus really is your Lord, then you're like a man who built a house that couldn't be destroyed by a flood. And a flood in the Bible is an image of God's judgment. One day God is going to come and he's going to judge the world. He's going to fix the world. He's going to undo all the mess and the brokenness and the pain. He's going to make all the things that are wrong right and everything that is old new. He'll wash away all the dirt and the grime and the muck of this world. It'll be like a flood, washing this all away when God comes to judge. And the man who hears Jesus' words and puts them into practice, the man who has Jesus as his Lord, he'll be safe. Like a man who built his house on a firm foundation. But Jesus carries on his explanation. Let me show you what the one who comes to me and hears my words and does not put them into practice is like. He's like a man who built a house without a firm foundation. When the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Jesus says that when he washes away, when God washes away all the dirt and the grime and the muck of this world, to leave everything clean and shiny and new, the person who hears Jesus' words but doesn't put them into practice, the person who doesn't have Jesus as his Lord, he'll be washed away and destroyed like a man whose house is destroyed by a flood. This is the big claim at the center of everything Jesus came for. We've seen it over the last few weeks in Luke's gospel. Jesus came to forgive sinners. Sinners like you and me, who've made a mess of loving God and loving others. A mess that one day will be washed away when God judges. And only with Jesus as Lord, resting on him and his forgiveness, like the foundations on a rock, only then can we be safe from being washed away with the mess that we've caused when God comes to judge. Only those who have Jesus as Lord will be safe when God judges. If over a long period of time we call Jesus our Lord, but we never do what he says, perhaps we need to ask ourselves whether Jesus really is our Lord, whether we really are going to be safe when the flood comes. But maybe sometimes, maybe we just get things wrong. We don't do what Jesus says all the time. We're hypocrites sometimes. But Jesus still is our Lord. We're still trusting him. We're forgiven people. We're trying to do what he says, but we get it wrong. Jesus says, great, keep going. Jesus' disciples do what Jesus says. When you see that you don't do what Jesus says, you've got it wrong, say sorry and start doing what Jesus says. Jesus' disciples do what Jesus says. And as you do what Jesus says, this should be a real encouragement to us all. Jesus is our Lord. That means we're in God's family now. When God comes to sort out the mess and the muck of this world and make everything new, we'll be as safe as a house with a foundation on a rock. Jesus has given us these parables to make his point clear. Jesus' disciples do what he says. Don't be a hypocrite like plank in the eye guy and say that you agree with Jesus, but do nothing about it. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. If Jesus is your Lord, you will put his words into practice. And only those with Jesus as Lord will be safe when God judges. Jesus' disciples do what Jesus says.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to call sinners to repentance. Thank you that he can be our loving Lord. Thank you that because of Lord Jesus, we can be certain that we will be safe when you come to sort out the mess in this world. Please help us not just to listen to what Jesus says and do nothing about it, but to do what Jesus says because he's our Lord. Amen.